Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With Irish Jam.
That's right. Welcome in, welcome back, folks, to a live on remote edition of Plans Change. What do we make of it? Edition of the Always Irish in Florida Show. As always, thank you for being here. You can find the program on YouTube. Do it. Subscribe if you haven't yet. Appreciate it very much. Give the video a thumbs up. That helps Yanni Boy out as well. Notifications on it. You alert it every time a new episode drops. I know you don't want to miss it. Twitter. Search bar Always Irish or at Always Irish Inc. Emails alwaysirishnd@gmail.com. Audio only anywhere you want it. You can get it if you don't want to see my face, even though it's more tan. Ooh, that face echoed throughout the complex here. There's no golfers. It's night, but I heard it echo throughout. Patreon.com/AlwaysIrish. Former captain, leading tackler, Mike Goolsby, and myself breaking it all down. We did a little live show yesterday. Thanks to everybody for checking it out. Everybody over there year-round, we really appreciate it. Irish Wire, USA Today, read all about it. I tell you all the time, you don't want to see my face? You don't have to see my face. You don't even want to hear me? Go read me. You can't get away from me. All right. It's been a few days. And in those few days, I've had time out of my routine, new scenery, warm weather, thinking of things different. I've had some time to process the Riley Leonard news. Really didn't appreciate the Morrison news on top of that. You could argue it's the two most important people, one on offense, one on defense. Not ideal. Not ideal. So I've been soaking this in. I'm out of my routine. I mentioned it before. Whenever I'm down here, it forces me to see and think of things differently just because I'm out of my normal timing and not even in my normal place. So here's where I'm at a few days later. I'm stuck trying to figure out how big of a deal this is. Like, obviously, it's not ideal. You needed Riley Leonard to be gelling with all of his new teammates and learning the offense, not by following along from the sidelines on a mini scooter. You're not having that development and the team gelling and Riley Leonard having the, you know, the number one reps and all day. Okay, so you're not going to... That's already inconvenient enough. But I'm just wondering, bigger picture than that, how big of a deal is this? One angle is everybody needs to relax. We're 5 months away from summer camp. Just relax. Get anything you need. Anybody who needs anything fixed, get it fixed. And then we all show up to August and we're all in one piece and we're ready to go. So that's one way you could look at it is if you're going to have this stuff happen, now's the time. Get it done now. It's inconvenient, and we all acknowledge that, but it's not nearly as inconvenient as this happening game one or in camp or whatever. So argument one would be it's not the end of the world, and we all show up to August in one piece. None of this happened. Yeah, we're a little behind on the gelling, but we get up to speed in August. That's one way to look at it. Number two is the other way. How can you trust Riley Leonard? We've had a, we're what, 2 to 3 surgeries deep or whatever, 2 surgeries since being in Notre Dame, 3 total, I believe. He's not a dropback guy where if you just keep him clean, he could pass and never get hit. He likes to run with the ball and get hit. That's another part of this, you guys. That's another part of this you got to take into consideration is his style of play. Physical, lower your shoulder, runner, bigger body type guy. All of those natural attributes, the way he plays quarterback, don't help in this scenario. So then you look at it and you say, we spent a lot of NIL money, bring this guy in here, he's injured, now we can't get any reps. Goolsby brought up a great point. We did an emergency Patreon episode when this broke, and he said, John, it's not just about him gelling with the other playmakers and the receivers and the line and whatever. It's also about he's not nearly a finished product and he needs the reps to further his individual development. And now you don't have any of that as well. It's a good point by Mike. I appreciate that part of it can almost slip your mind if it's not top of mind. This is not a guy that's coming that's just a done, finished product. And you run him out there. He's got development to do too. And now all of this is in flux. So there's the durability issue. Even if you come back in August in one piece, can we trust that you're going to make it 12 games and through a playoff run? And there's no gelling. And there's no personal development. And so if you look at it through that lens, it's really not good at all. Here's the reality, though. Tell me where you've heard this before. Oh, I know. My show, 50 times. You're in the middle. You're right in the middle. You're in the Notre Dame gray zone. You're in the Notre Dame nuance zone. It's unbelievable to me how no matter what Notre Dame tries to do, the best plans they may have laid, we end up in middle ground, no man's land territory, somehow, some way, gray area, Notre Dame. Here we are again. What I mean by that? The plan, if healthy, Riley Leonard, your starter, number one guy. Now you don't have that health all through spring, but he's probably going to show up in August with the health. But in the meantime, Minchie and Angeli are getting all these reps, whatever's going to happen in spring, whoever's going to look good or whatever, look good in the blue and gold game or whatever. You're going to end up in a situation where Leonard misses all spring, this key development period for him and gelling with the teams. And then he's probably going to show back up in August ready to go. And you're going to have the other two guys and at least one of them probably play pretty good in the spring and the spring game. That's how you end up in no man middle ground territory. So what are the actual realities of this situation now? What does August look like? What does August look like in this dynamic? If it's Angeli or Minchie and they look good and play good all spring and lead this team and the team that grows around them, and Riley Leonard gets healthy over the summer, and we all show up back to August with all of our body parts attached, then what? Then what? Who's your number one starter the first time you run out that offense in August practice? If Angeli ends up the number one through spring and the number one quarterback for blue and gold game, is Angeli set up to be the number one rep guy when August starts? And then it's up to Riley Leonard to make up all that ground he lost in a few weeks to overtake Angeli before Texas A&M? And I'm just saying Angeli because he had the experience nudge and everything over Minchie anyways. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just wondering what August is going to look like. And if you don't feel like you could run Riley Leonard out there as the automatic number one if he's healthy in August, what does he have to do to overtake the guy in about a 3-week window before you get into game week or 4 weeks or whatever to overtake whoever the number one guy is? This puts a major kink in the plan. And it's going to be pretty tricky for this staff to thread this needle, in my opinion. So the realities of this is, I think this is in the middle. It's neither of the two options I threw out there. You can't just say you're the guy everybody wanted to start that you paid the NIL money to come here to start is two surgeries deep and we haven't even come close to a game yet. I'm not worried about that at all. That's irresponsible. If you told me not to worry about it at all next season, that's irresponsible. This has to be in the back of your mind, these durability issues. So I'm not buying that it's not a big deal at all. Forget about it. I'm just not, man. Two surgeries is too many with no real football going on for my comfort to trust you. On the other side, I guess it's a good thing we feel good about Notre Dame's quarterback depth and these backups. I've been talking for months about, I feel good that we have four guys I want to see and all this stuff. Well, we're down to three. And so I just don't know what is the appropriate, fair, competitive way to set up August when we're in this dynamic. Is it whoever leads the team through all of spring in the blue and gold game, the number one quarterback, deserves to be the number one guy when camp starts, and the other guys have to overtake him, and that includes Riley, and I don't care how much his NIL deal's worth or whatever. When you're injured, everything gets leveled out. Everything gets leveled out. All of that is a dead talking point now, because when you get injured, it can't trust it. So again, we're in this middle ground, and I'm just wondering what August is going to look like, what the plan is here. What message does it send to the team if Riley Leonard can't do anything all spring? One of these other guys gels with the team, grows with them, and they look pretty good. And then you get bounced down a notch in August. Is that fair to the team and to that quarterback? I don't know. And if it starts out without Riley Leonard as number one, that's what I wonder is, how much ground does he have to make up, and what does it look like to get back there? Here's the other thing.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Think about what Notre Dame has come in week one. Think about this. Whoever the quarterback is week one, if Notre Dame wins, pretty much probably no matter what it looks like, if Notre Dame wins, people are not going to want to change quarterbacks. Whoever the quarterback is week one, if you happen to lose to Texas A&M, everybody's probably going to want a different quarterback. These are complicated things, and that's why where you may need to lean on Mike Denbrock's 40 years of experience or whatever. I don't know what you do to set this up. Also, maybe some of this works itself out the rest of spring. I'm open to that, with it working itself out with who does what and how good they look or not, with how you want it to start in August. I don't know. But just when you think Notre Dame has a plan, here we go again. The plan made perfect sense to me. You pay Riley Leonard all that money. You want him to be the quarterback. He's a more of a running type guy that could do that. And Denbrock loves that. It all made sense. Then you had that battle for the backup between the two guys, Minchie and Angeli. and then you had Carr as your freshman, and that all made sense to me. Now, I have no idea. I have no idea. I have an idea about spring. I'm talking about August. What's going to happen in spring is obvious. If you want to look for a silver lining, the only one is you're going to be able to keep these guys here right after spring. You're not going to have a Buckner because all these guys are going to get more reps with Leonard out. So that's the silver lining, is you're not going to have a guy whose bags are packed. And the second the blue and gold game ends, he walks out the tunnel and then drives to Alabama. Greener pastures, I was told. Didn't look like it worked out that way for him. So here we are, Notre Dame nuance, Notre Dame gray area, and I'm sure nobody's going to agree on what the next move is, and there's people who are going to want Angeli to start. There's people who are going to say Angeli has a limited athletic ceiling, go with somebody more athletic. There's going to be people who want Riley Leonard to have a shot to gain this role back as the number one guy day one in camp. There's people who want to make him earn it. I think how the staff approaches this in August is a big deal. How they're going to set this up. And then the other thing with Morrison is, I've seen people write tweets like, Notre Dame's arguably two most important people, one on defense, one on offense, is out. You can't compare the two. I already know what Morrison could do. I already know he's amazing, and I don't need him out there learning and all this. Like, I already know that. This is not ideal, but I'm not worried about that 1/1,000,000% the way I am this quarterback dynamic. It's just not the same situation. And a lot of that has to do with the quarterback position, how big of a deal it is, and Notre Dame wanting to get a more modern, exciting scoring offense. So I don't know, you guys, but that's what's been on my mind. I'm at the beach. I'm at the zoo, whatever I'm doing down here. That's what's in my mind. I'm like, dude, am I overplaying this or underplaying this? I don't have a good answer. I don't have a good answer. I don't know whether I'm making it too big of a deal or not as a big enough deal. It kills me that we end up right in between. My whole thing about all this is, if healthy, and now you got a situation where the guy's not healthy now, and then he's probably going to be in August. And where does that put the team? Where does that put the coaching staff? How do you stack this stuff up? And if Riley Leonard doesn't start week one for health or any other reason, and Notre Dame wins week one, how's he ever going to get that job back? You just paid a lot of NIL money for a couple surgeries and a glorified clipboard older than. Because if you win week one and then you have those easier games lining up till Louisville, nobody's going to want a quarterback change. And you might not need one. You could argue you don't need one then. That's fine. I'm just saying these are all issues that are going to come up. I've said it for years. Nothing with Notre Dame could ever just be black and white. There's always middle ground, always something to disagree with. No, but everybody can't be on the same page. Here we are. Here we are again. So I want to know what you guys think. You know, like, you want to talk about bad timing to not be able to do the call-in show? This is it. Every time I come to Florida, big news drops and I can't do the call-in show. Write in the comments what you think the plan at quarterback should be throughout spring and then starting August. And then when I get back, we'll take the calls and we'll do all this together. But the best I could do for now is do this and then ask you guys to write in the comments, what should the quarterback plan be? How big of a deal is this? Am I overplaying it or underplaying the significance of this and what it does to the offense, the gelling of the team overall, and that quarterback pecking order? Let me know what you guys think. I'd love to know. And then we'll open up the calls when I get back to cold, rainy Illinois. See ya.